Church. Why don't we give these wonderful people a hand? I was really blessed this morning, you guys. Thank you. Yes. At this time, we are releasing the children, preschool through fifth grade. You have classes. We also have nursery available. Also, greet each other. Shake a hand, stand up, stretch. Say hello to someone. All right. Just a few announcements for us this morning before we move into our message. Well, first off, who here had that amazing breakfast this morning? Raise of hands. It was pretty good, right? Or was it really good? Would we say that? Really? Okay, good. Yeah, so thank the men who did that. If you see them, it was amazing. We're very thankful. A couple of their announcements for later this week, as we do every week. We have some Wednesday activities. At 9 a.m., the Touch Point with Pastor Stephen Joyce releases online. You can find that at 10strikecommunitychurch.com. On Wednesday nights, we have, at 6 p.m., we have activities for the youth, Amplify Youth Group, and for kids. We have kids' activities. And if you ever want to hear archived Sunday morning messages, those are online as well. Not a lot of announcements this morning, but that's what I got. I know there's probably some people here, maybe haven't been here before. We don't pass a plate around for our offerings, but we do have boxes on the back walls there. They're by the doors. They're black. You can put your offering there. Before we move on, I just have a short thought for us, something that was I was thinking about as we were worshiping this morning. I was contemplating the story of Thomas. The story of Thomas, maybe we know that one. And I think it's fitting for a morning like this, Easter morning. It was after the resurrection, if you read the story. The disciples of Jesus were gathered in a room, and they're talking about having maybe seen him, right? Some of them have said, we've seen him alive. And Thomas, he doesn't believe it, right? It just doesn't make sense to his mind. And us, as oftentimes Christian readers, we read this and we go, come on, Thomas, come on. You know, don't you know the story? Jesus told you he was going to rise again. Why don't you get it? Get with the picture. Get with the program. Why don't you believe it, right? But the truth is that that doesn't make sense, right? Death is final, right? We all kind of inherently know that. We've been to funerals. We know about death as this finality, as this darkness, as this thing that awaits us at the end of what we think of as life, right? And so Thomas, he knows that, right? He's aware of that. He's lived that his whole life. He's seen death all around him, and it just doesn't make sense to him. And then Jesus walks into the room, right? He walks right in amongst them, and all the people are excited, and still, Thomas doesn't quite, he's just not feeling it. He's not quite getting it. And then Jesus looks right in his eyes. He comes to him, and he says, Thomas, do you know me? Do you see me? He says, well, yeah, I see you. Well, why don't you touch me then? Right here in the place where I was murdered, right here in the holes in my wrists. How about the hole in my side where I was stabbed? Do you see these? Can you feel them? And he reaches out, and it's not the image of Jesus that he feels. It's not the good feelings of the idea of Jesus. It's the real, live Jesus there in the room with him. And that changes Thomas's life there. He spent all his time with Jesus while he was alive, but it was the fact that Jesus defeated death, and he saw him and he touched him and knew that he was real, that the reality of Jesus's life, I think that is what really affected Thomas, and I think affected everybody in that room that day. So this morning, while we're worshiping, we're singing about the resurrection, I hope for every one of us we have that experience, because I've gone through times in my life where I've been Thomas, where I've come to church services and I see the image of Jesus. I hear the songs about Jesus, but it's not always real to me until I've met with the reality of Jesus myself. And I knew that the death that I've experienced in my life is overcome by his life, first and foremost. So I just want to pray for us this morning that whatever death we might be going through right now, whatever darkness, whatever burden, whatever thing that is keeping us down, maybe keeping us separated from this sense of his life, his goodness, and the overwhelming sense that he is real, he is alive, and he is today, forever, and always the God of the universe who celebrates and worships with us here right now in 10 Strike Community Church. I hope you just, we reach out to that. We touch his hand this morning, feel the places where he died, but then overcame that death, overcomes the death within us. So Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for those things that you are doing in us today, right now. In your name we pray, amen. So why don't we welcome up Zach Binder. He's giving us the message this morning. You can give him a clap.
There we go. Okay. Well, welcome, welcome. Jesus is alive. Can you say it with me? A little bit louder. Come on. Jesus is alive. Feel like you guys are sleeping out there. You know, I can never stop talking about how blessed I am by this church body. We're going to be diving into some things here. We're going to be jumping into Philippians 1:6, and you can actually throw that up there now. That is going to be kind of the foundational scripture that we build off today. You know, as you guys could tell during worship, we had a lot of our youth that had prepared some monologues. And these are some monologues they put a lot of work and a lot of time in, a lot of thought, a lot of study. I think we got some future teachers, preachers, and speakers coming up here. So we're looking to cultivate that more as we continue through our normal weekly youth studies. But yesterday we had practice where we were going through all this stuff, right? We're getting our worship songs together and we're doing our monologues. And things didn't go quite as smooth as I would wanted. I was kind of panicking because it was like a little bit of a train wreck, right? And Abby, wherever Abby is, Abby could clearly tell, she could see it in my eyes. And so she was making some comments here and there. Like, you know, you need to calm down. Like, okay, calm down. But honestly, this entire week was a complete test on the sermon I was preparing. God, while I was preparing this sermon, was like, okay, we're going to walk you right through what you're preaching today. So this whole week was a little bit of a challenge for me and my family. But we're going to take a look at Philippians 1:6. For I am confident that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. This has been a foundational verse in my life because so often things have not gone the way I would want them to go. My plans or what I think God should be doing sometimes isn't exactly what takes place, right? And we all kind of have an idea of what we think God's going to do. Right, you know, we get up and we say, God, I submit myself to you, your will, but it should look like this, right? Like, you know, if you could take me and teach me and mold me with this least amount of struggle, that would be greatly appreciated. God, keep that up. You know, that's my plan, and I kind of feel like you should do it that way. That is not how it works. And something I want to look at, just digging into this verse, it says, for I am confident. Well, what are we confident in? Are we confident in ourselves? Are we confident in our understanding, our knowledge? What are we confident in? And what it says, we are confident, for I am confident that he who began a good work. Who is he? He is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is working. He is moving, and he has a plan for your life, and it may not look the way you think it should, but he will be faithful to complete it. He is faithful to complete it, even when you may not be faithful in it. But this is a promise. He is promising he will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's really easy for us to assume that our understanding on how it should look is how God's going to do it. And in many cases, all throughout Scripture, that is not what happens. So we are going to just kind of step by step dive into chapter 23. We'll start there. Luke 23:50. Something to keep in mind, something that's a huge blessing, when what you may not know is that there is a group of people, I didn't realize this, there's a group of people every morning that pray for this service, that pray specifically for you, that pray for me, who go to battle for you in prayer. And that's just another blessing I want to call out with this body, is that I can get up here and I can speak and I can know that I got people behind me who have been dousing me in prayer this entire week when I know I desperately need it. So thank you for that. But let's go ahead and jump into Luke 23:50. And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good righteous man, had gone, and he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices, perfumes, and on the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment. Something we need to stop and think about here. Just like Peter was saying, many times I find myself, when I'm reading through this, I get kind of frustrated because, you know, these are the people who walked with Jesus. They saw his miracles. They heard his teaching. Of all the people in the world, these are the ones that should have the most amount of faith. They were there. They were in relationship with him. They saw things nobody else saw. But yet, they're in despair right now. What did they lose on that cross? If we just step back for a second and evaluate, they lost a friend. They lost a teacher. They lost a mentor. They lost their savior. They lost so much. And so this day of rest that they're preparing for, this day of rest that's coming, was not restful. I'm 100% positive that they did not rest very well on the Sabbath at this time. They were hopeless. What they had their hope in at this time in their minds was gone. They lost it all, and they were in hiding. Again, referring back, they had forgotten what God has spoken. They had forgotten what Jesus Christ had said. They had forgotten that he told them that he would be crucified. They had forgotten that he said after 3 days, he was going to rise again. They had forgotten that there was going to be a struggle, that there was going to be pain. And then when it happened, all they could do was just look at the devastation that was in front of them at the time. You know, something that happened to Abby and I not too long ago, it's been almost a year. Abby and I, we've moved down from Warroad 5 years ago. We've moved 4 times in 3 years. Finally, we get a place that we call our own. We started building, and we had all our belongings in our garage. Everything we had, because it was just a single wide trailer, and we had 5 kids, and we had the boys like stacked in the room with these bunk beds that I made. It was pretty tight, and we were all about to pull each other's hair out. But I think it was May of last year, our garage caught fire. And everything went up in flames within 20 minutes. And one thing I didn't know, and I learned this from the fire warden, it was a steel building. So the problem with steel buildings is when it catches fire, it turns into an oven. And then by the time it's about to collapse and it's just completely done, everything inside is just gone. It's just gone. And it took 20 minutes for everything that we owned, family heirlooms, furniture, clothing, snowmobiles, 20 minutes to be gone like that. I had to call Abby because she was on the way back from the school, and I said, don't even bother coming home. Like, you're just going to sit here and just watch this burn. Like, don't even. But she's stubborn. She didn't listen. But we're sitting there, and the kids had a concert that evening in Black Duck, and they had quite a few major roles that they had to participate in, and it was done. Like, we're just looking at it. Like, so I went to the fire ward and said, this is really weird. I don't know, like, is it okay if we just leave and go to this concert that my kids have to be to? And he's like, well, yeah, what are you going to do? You're just going to sit here and look at it? Like, you can't change it. There's nothing you can do. You need to move on. So we did. We went to the concert. But that's just the thing. So often in our lives, we forget God's promises, we forget God's teachings, we forget what he says is going to happen, and we look at the devastation, we're staring at the devastation, and we fixate on it, and that's all we see. And that's all we see. We have lost our hope. We've forgotten that in 3 days, there's something amazing that's going to happen because God promised it. Where are your eyes? What are you looking at? Do you remember? Have you forgotten his promises? Have you forgotten that he said he's going to rise and he will live? Let's jump on down to Luke 24. Verse 1. But on the first day of the week, in the morning, someone say in the morning. Joy comes in the morning, right? In the morning, joy comes in the morning. In the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, which just throws me, like, they're perplexed. Like, again, like, how much have you forgotten? Do you remember? It says, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes, and the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Let's camp there for a second. Some of you are looking for life in dead places. Some of you, in the midst of losing your hope, in the midst of staring at the devastation, you have given up your hope, you have given up your faith, and you've gone looking for life in dead places, and you've returned to things, whatever that may be. It could be porn, it could be a relationship, it could be alcohol, it could be whatever it may be. You return to those dead places looking for life. It's not there. It is not there. Get out of the grave. Christ is no longer there. What does he say? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember. Sorry, am I yelling? If I'm spitting too, I apologize. He is not here, but he has risen. Remember. Do you remember? Have you forgotten? Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And on the third day, he will rise again. He has risen. Get out of the grave. Get away from those dead places. Go to your Savior. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. But these words appeared, verse 11, but these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. When you're walking with Christ, when you walk out of your grave, when you give up those dead places and you seek your Savior, and when you are finding life in him, there are going to be people out there who do not get it. There are going to be people out there who do not understand. They may have all the knowledge in the world, but knowledge and understanding are two different things. And you will find that in the church sometimes too, you guys. Unfortunately, when God's moving in our life, sometimes there's people that just don't understand what's going on. Don't step back because they're not just jumping on the bandwagon with you. Continue moving forward. Continue pressing into your Savior. Continue finding life. Do not return back to the grave. So we can kind of move forward a little bit here into verse 13. And behold, the two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And they said to him, or he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. One of them answered and said, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who is unaware of these things which have happened here in these days? He said, what things? And he said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word. This is the part that blows my mind. They just called him a prophet. That's what he got reduced to. They had given up their faith. They had given up on the promise. They had given up on his teachings so much that he no longer was their savior. He was just a prophet. Have you given up on promises so much where your first love, your Christ, is no longer in the position as a savior in your life anymore? Are you too busy focusing on the devastation because it didn't go according to your plan? So because it didn't go according to your plan, God must be wrong. We need to stop, and this is a big thing in our culture. We need to stop measuring our God, our Savior, his power, his purpose on our circumstances. He never changes. But we must change to be with him. We need to move our eyes off of the devastation and we need to look to Jesus Christ. Just like the song we sang, I think it was second from the last song, turn your eyes to Jesus and all the things of the world will grow strangely dim. The world doesn't matter if your eyes are on Christ. The devastation doesn't matter if our eyes are on Christ. We find our peace in the devastation when our eyes are on Christ. That's where we find our peace, which was kind of funny because, you know, I was in a bad place, I'm just gonna be honest. Even Josh Grover's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine, fine, okay? But I texted Steve around like 8:27. I said, hey, pray for me. I am just really frustrated right now. I feel like, you know, we've been talking about this Easter service for 2 months. I feel like the youth don't know the set list. They sent out the set list 3 weeks ago. They don't know the songs. We have a monologue that didn't get done till this morning. panicking just a little bit, but Steve sends this verse, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for you, the Lord, is everlasting strength. And Steve was right. And I had to take a step back for a moment. Okay, get over myself, Zach. And so this morning, as we're getting ready for our second practice to see if we can tie these things two up, I'm like, you know what? Let's just have a quick meeting as a youth group. If everything falls apart, if we sound absolutely terrible, God is still in control. If we don't do a good job, God still has a plan. And whatever we do, whatever God's purpose to do, he's going to do it because he said so. And our faith is in that. Our faith is not in ourselves, our own abilities, and our own capabilities. That was a complete side note. Gotta find where I was now. Okay, here we are. So, but we were hoping, this is where we are, picking up where I was. So, but we were hoping, in verse 21, they say, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things have happened. Jesus was going to redeem Israel, but it just didn't work out the way they planned. So what did Jesus do here in this situation? He continues with them. Because at this point, with me reading it, I'm like, "Are you guys are ridiculous. Like, don't you get it? Why don't you not see? Why don't you remember what Jesus said?" But Jesus has way more patience, okay? So he continues walking with them. And he says to them, "O foolish men," in verse 25, he says to them, "O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them these things concerning himself in all the scriptures." Jumping down to verse 30, "When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him." Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him when? After they listened to his teachings. After Christ sat down with them and explained it and brought understanding. Some of you are not getting into your word and knowing his promises. You can't know his promises and you can't act on his promises and live according to those promises if you don't know them, if you don't remember them. Your eyes will not be opened till after you hear his word, after you hear his truth, after his word has been spoken. You gotta dive in. You cannot find peace if you can't find your Savior. You need to know your Savior. You need to be with him. You need to sit down with him. You need to hear him. You need to have a prayer walk with him. You need to dive in. So then they say, you know, they're in wonder and they go on forth and they go and they relate their experiences on the road to the others. In verse 35, they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. While they were telling these things, verse 36, while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, what did he say? Peace be with you. But how did they respond? Not with peace. Okay? And this is where I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you just went to the others and started telling about all these things and how it happened and how you believe it, and then he appears in front of you and you're still stunned? What? Like, do you remember? Have you forgotten his promises? But it says in verse 37, but they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands, see my feet, that it is myself. Touch me, see the spirit. A spirit does not have flesh. Our Savior is a hands-on teacher. Okay? And he's patient. We don't need to worry about timing either. If we don't get it the first time, if we don't get it the second time, if we don't get it the third time, he is faithful to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, and to get us where he intends to have us. He is faithful even when we are not. I'm like 3 pages behind. Jesus Christ is the promise. He is our hope. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior, and He is alive. He is alive. He is not in the grave. He is alive. He is acting. He is moving. He is speaking. Are your eyes on Him? Or are you looking at your circumstances? Are you looking at, like, whatever it may be in your life, whatever devastation you're experiencing, lay it at the altar. Let it go. Turn your eyes to Christ. He is faithful. He will walk you through it. It does not mean that there aren't going to be troubles. There will be troubles. But He will take you through those troubles. And you will have peace in that struggle because your faith, your hope, your eyes, your trust, everything you're on all needs to be in Him because He is our all in all. Where are you today? Do you see peace in your life? And when I say peace, I'm not saying there isn't struggle. There isn't troubles. There's always going to be struggles and troubles. But are you finding peace in that trouble? Maybe you're a Christian. You've been raised in the church. You have all the knowledge. But maybe you're lacking some understanding. Maybe there needs to be a revelation. Maybe from brokenness, either in the church or outside the church, your eyes have been drawn away from Christ and you're too busy looking at the devastation and the darkness. Maybe you haven't been walking with Jesus at all, but you really desire to. There's peace in our Savior. And so I'm going to have Abby come up. She can jump on the piano for a little bit. I really want to encourage you guys, wherever it is in your walk, if you're at the beginning where you're just now trying to figure out this Jesus thing, who He is, now's the time. Now is the invitation. He is moving. He is faithful to move. He is here in this place. He is alive. He is active. He's not standing at a distance just watching things happen. He participates with us daily. And if you want to know Him, if you want to be completely intimate with Him, where He is the center of your life, where you walk through the storm in peace, there is opportunity today to know Him. And there are people here, there are prayer warriors in this church who are willing to pray with you. And actually, they'll be up here. Steve is up here. We got Gus over here. Even Josh, if you want to pray. There is opportunity to find prayer, to seek God, and to get counsel. And I encourage you to do that. If you are a Christian and you feel like you have just walked away from God for a little bit because there's pain from the past, there's hurt from the past, devastation, brokenness that's there, and you're too busy looking at that because you're like, how can there be a Savior when this is happening? If this is the opportunity, this is the invitation to take your eyes off of that and put them back on Christ. God is moving. And so I really encourage you guys to do business with Christ today. He is alive. He is alive. That was a weak amen. He is alive. Amen. He's alive. He is working. He is moving. He is faithful. He is faithful. No matter what the circumstance is. Jumping back over to Philippians 1:6. For I am confident. What are we confident in? We're confident in Jesus Christ. That's what we're confident in. Not in ourselves. How many failures do we have to have in our own strength to come to the conclusion that it's not us, but it's Him? It's His strength. We don't have it. It is He who began a good work. It is He who will finish the work. And so I want you all to stand up today. Again, I encourage you, if God is stirring something in your heart, touch base with Steve. Touch base with Pastor Steve or with Gus or with Josh, or even if there's just someone that you know within this body that you're comfortable with, speak to them today. Get prayer. We are a body. We function together. We fight for each other. We bear each other's burdens. We walk together. We are a family. This is not a walk we do on our own. So I just want you guys to just turn your hearts to Jesus right now. God, we just give you the glory. Jesus, we praise your name, that you are alive, you are working. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, you are working. While the disciples were mourning, where they were sitting without hope during the Sabbath, while they were supposed to be resting, you are working. And you are working today. And we glorify your name, Lord. And we proclaim that you are sovereign. And you are holy. And Lord, in you is peace. And in you is strength. And God, we turn ourselves, our eyes, we fixate ourselves on you. And we let go all the things that hinder. We let go all the dead things that hold us back. We come out of the grave and we are resurrected with you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. As we go forth through our individual homes and we sit down with our families and we sit and we have a meal celebrating the resurrection, God, I pray that your spirit would go with us into our families, into these communities. God, that your light would shine forth, that your hope would be manifest. That people would see the peace that we walk in. Because our eyes are on you. And you are faithful. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are dismissed. Thanks, guys.
We're off.
It's a living, breathing, walking testimony.